Sunday won't pass too.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome yet again to another episode of POV. This will be episode 41, and me be David W. Torrance. Thank you for coming along. Now, you may be asking yourselves at this point, you loyal POV viewers, listeners, or if you're viewing it, I don't know what the hell you're watching. It kind of makes me wonder. Are you missing something here, you loyal viewers and listeners might be saying? I need to get rid of the word viewers. You loyal listeners might be saying, am I missing something here? Well, you could well be. I don't know. I mean, we all say that every once in a while, don't we? No, you're really not. Because I just decided, I think we left off at episode 37, I want to say. And I'll say it. Episode 37. Ha-ha. No, there is no episode 38 or 39. So, no, you, and even if there was, you probably wouldn't be missing anything anyway. Let's just pretend those happened, but they sucked, which is odds are what would have happened anyway. So we skipped ahead on to 40, which is a number that means a lot to me lately, and I'll leave it up to you to figure out why. And you'll never guess, and you'd never care either. Anyway, just to fill you in case you didn't know at this point, what we've got going on here. Initially, these episodes were just 40 and 41, and they were an hour long apiece. In one case, over an hour, like an hour and 50 minutes long. And it's like, that's not going to work. Try and listen to it on my iPod, and I had to stop in the middle of one. Well, you got to go all the way back, fast forward through 30 minutes to get back to where you fucking were. Unless you get a charger or something in your car, then you can pause it to your heart's content. I can't. So I was like, people don't want to do that, so let's just cut it down into bite-sized, easily digestible chunks, even though it will come up later, trust me, of POV. Which just means more for you, you'll have more later, and that might not be appetizing to you, so to speak. Am I hungry? Is this why all these food references? No. I actually just had a can of ravioli in preparation for the show. Ravioli, great preparation for POV, obviously. Indigestible crap. I tell you what, let's just go ahead and get into the show. I said, no current references, and because I don't want to ruin the whole show full of fucking old references, obviously. You go, well, like, that guy wasn't on American Idol. He was on 3 years ago. What the hell? I mean, you don't sit there and go, it was 3 years ago, therefore not funny. You don't go like, you don't watch the best of Carson and see Ed Ames, the old war horse of Ed Ames throwing the tomahawk at the Indian's crotch and go, that's old, therefore not funny. Indeed, actually, it's timeless. It's classic, much like POV itself. Timeless and classic, even though exactly what is so funny about an Indian getting hit in the crotch with a tomahawk, I'm not real sure. It's kind of like Nazis. It's always funny. Nazis, a good deal funnier than Indians with tomahawks, but, anyway, there you go. I didn't really know Indians gave themselves their own vasectomies, but, there you go. Anyway, let's go ahead on into episode 41 / Best of Volume 2 for all you listeners out there and all you viewers. See, viewers again. There you go. We don't have any viewers. We're not going on TV anyway. Not yet anyway. You better hope not. Anyway, let's go ahead on with David W. Torrance. Matter of fact, the David W. Torrance of the past.
Also in the news, of course, last night, American Idol was on. We don't have the music, so I don't want to hear it. And I actually got to see it last night. And I'm hitting my damn chair against the desk, and it must be making noise. The American Idol was the first few songs, the Ace, Freely Guy, the whoever else, the whatever. It was just karaoke performances. Simon called that correctly. But I'm telling you, the top three should be, even though we don't have Chicken Little anymore, the top three should be that Elliot guy, who is, it's kind of difficult to look at because his voice does not match his looks. Last night, he brought the house down. He brought the woo, 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 and yo, dog! Word up, dog! That was a great tune! You made it your own, dog! Word up! In the dog pound! Woof, woof! Jackass. And, that, what was that? Because I was like always singing that damn, I don't want to be anyone, everyone, you know, whatever, that everybody has sung on the damn show before. And the Manzella, the Mandiva, the Mandiza, she was great. Simon, he didn't appreciate bringing the religion in the house, though. He didn't like that shit. He's like, I don't like the Jesus stuff. Keep that out of here. But Manzilla, she brought it down. And Ryan, dumbass, he's like, if you want to vote for Manzilla's religion, she's like, no, no, no. Brother, you don't want to vote for my religion. You know that's not what you... I'm not a religion myself. But for God's sake, somebody quit putting her in those tight-ass jeans. This woman don't have an ass. She's got a full caboose. She got the whole caboose and maybe a couple of cars extra. You know what I'm saying? You know, they wisely keep that out of the camera angle a lot of the time. Now, I like the big women, but it just looks kind of wrong. She got the audience in with her. Now, as far as the Kelly Picklehead, the Suds in a Jar, whatever the hell that was, obviously the judges had never heard that song before. They didn't know what it was. I didn't like that. Bucky, who I think will probably get kicked off tonight for retaliation of it being Chicken Little instead of him off last week. He gets up there with shit kicking and singing the George Strait or Tim McGraw song or whatever. I don't even know what it was. And it was just the stupidest, amateurish... And thank God. But the guy's going to go on tour, you know. He's going to go on tour with him. That's already set. The top 10, I think. Maybe it's the top 12, I think, maybe. Get to go on a national tour, a world tour. I don't think they go all over the world because they don't want to send Bucky to France. Because he's already having a problem with New York menus. Imagine sending that hick to France. I look at their menus here, and I ain't got nothing for me to eat on them because I don't understand what they mean. They only got the escargot here, and I don't know what that is. It must be some kind of fish. If it's catfish, I know what that is because I fished for catfish out with my grandpa. And then Kelly Picklehead gets on there. She's like, this song's not about... It's not about a prince coming up in his diamond-studded carriage. It's about a prince coming up in an old beat-up Ford pickup truck. You damned idiot. Shit. Even Carrie Underwear was not that big of a hick. She puts it on thicker every week. And maybe she likes it thick. I don't know, but I don't. Next thing you know, it's going to be, well, I don't know about these here clothes dryers. All we do is stick our clothes outside on the line and hope they dry before school starts. I don't know about these here shoes we have to wear. We don't wear shoes where I come from because we just walk through the gravel and the rock and the grass. New Yorkers, you crazy. It's where she, I don't understand this shoe wearing business. Fuck. It was an outtake from Elvis, his last concert special, like in 77. And he's, you know, he's really sad looking. He's awful looking. And he's singing, I think, Love Me, which he's just barely even trying. He's just, hey, I love you, I'm lonely, thank you. And he's got the scarf around his neck, you know, the white scarf. He goes to the edge of the stage, kind of tugs on it a little bit to get some Elvis sweat on it. And all of a sudden, these women start rushing to the side of the stage, and they're going ape shit. I'm like, wow. You know, are they really? And he hands it, he didn't throw it, he politely hands it to one of them, and they're going even more berserk then. A guy comes up behind me, has a whole handful of these scarves, towels or whatever. Elvis puts another one on, gets a tug on it, gets some Elvis sweat, and another woman wants it. I'm like, man, that's amazing. I mean, he looked terrible. He looked nothing like he had just, you know, what, 5 years before. And the women are still freaking out over him. I'm like, that's amazing. But in another way, I'm like, you know, those women still have them towels. You know, they're on eBay by this point. Anyway, so probably, I guess they were smart. God has blessed men. I mean, obviously. We're men. I mean, come on. But men, let me talk to you for a moment. And women, you don't want to listen to this. This is kind of crude and unusual, but men will be like, yeah, that's right. Men, we have something over on women. And you know what it is? You know what it really is? The fact that we can pee outside. And what? That is the greatest gift I think God has given to a man. Go outside and take a piss. It is exhilarating. It's great. Now, if you live in a city, you really can't do that. They kind of frown on that. But that's the charm of living out in the country. Piss anywhere. It's all a toilet. It doesn't make any difference. Crapping anywhere, that's no, no. We're civilized. We don't do that. And I was trying to think, what is so liberating about taking a pee outside? And I think it's because you ain't aiming nothing. It don't make no difference. It's all where you need to pee. Maybe that's some sort of animal instinct in us. I don't know. But there's no greater thing than stepping outside and just releasing yourself. I hope to God, however, that Kelly Picklehead finally meets her maker this week. And, you know, with that in mind, we will now present you here on POV in the POV Playhouse with a special tribute that we've created just for Kelly Pickler. It's, well, you know, clue you in as to all that happened. If you missed American Idol tonight, well, then now you'll find out, or last night, whatever the hell. You'll, this podcasting shit just twists my mind, man. I don't know what the hell time it is. Fuck it, forget it. This is the Kelly Pickler tribute from tonight's show on today's show of POV. What the hell am I talking about? Just listen, who cares?
Hi there, hi there, hi there, hi there, hi there, hi there, hi there. Let me get the words just in case.
Get the words and the lyrics.
Okay.
It's a little joke there.
Huh?
Hi lad.
The words and the lyrics are the same thing.
Huh?
Hi lad.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Huh?
Hi lad.
Well, you took a load off my chest.
Well.
Huh?
Hi lad.
They're talking. I'll give you some commentary on their commentary.
yeah.
Exactly. That's closed captioning thing. But I highly recommend you do that and just sit and read it and see what kind of bizarre shit you can decipher out of it. Because I don't know how they do the closed captioning nowadays. It used to be literally someone sitting there typing it out. I extremely doubt they do that anymore. There's got to be some kind of gizmotronic thing that'll do that. But there's all kinds of bizarre shit you'll find out if you just sit and watch the closed captioning. That deaf people must think that people that can talk are absolutely damned insane. Or that there's some private joke going on that they are just being subjected to or left out of, one or the other. We're watching a couple of weeks ago the coverage of there were some tornadoes in the area. Bad, severe weather. And we're sitting there reading the closed captioning, going from station to station just to see what it was going to have them say during the closed captioning. And at one point, it refers to the naked it. Yes. The naked it. What the hell is the naked it? I don't know, but it sounds bad. I mean, the naked it apparently caused a hell of a lot of damage, more so than the tornadoes. I don't know, but that just sounds really bad. Either bad or pornographic. The naked It. I don't know. And at one point, the naked it was downing ed trees. And wait a minute. Before you think, what the hell is an ed tree? They have those in Oklahoma? No. We don't have. I'll leave that up to you to figure out, but no, I won't. We don't have ed trees in Oklahoma, but it was downing ed trees. So deaf people must think, shit, people are nuts. Downing Ed, the naked it. We just had the greatest time watching that. Even though suffering and carnage was going on everywhere, we were having a hell of a time watching the closed captioning. Say I would be like, you know, that Kelly Pickler bitch really sucks ass. But I completely forgot all about it. It's not on my desktop, or it should be for some reason. So we'll bring the word up. We'll bring the word up, dude, back again next week. That's one thing Germany will never live down. World War II. There's a new TV show on the ABC network here in America, and it's called What About Brian? We watched, actually, the last few weeks, couple of weeks, but I'm struck by a couple of things about this show. Number one, didn't they have a show last year called What About Jake? Are they just kind of trying names out to see which one will actually stick in the public consciousness? Jake, well, people didn't like that name. What about Larry? No. What about Carlo? No. What about Brian? That's it. Everybody likes Brian. That's a great name. People will watch this show. We're convinced. So let's name this show What About Brian? What about him? The problem I have about this show is it exhibits a growing trend that worries me. In these types of 30-something shows, that every nook and cranny in the show must be filled with music. And I'm not talking about incidental background music. I'm talking about kind of Belle and Sebastian type songs. I ain't got nothing against the Belle and Sebastian, mind you. But it's just a fact. All these shows have this incidental music. If someone's like, you know, I've been thinking about moving to New Jersey. La 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 la, I'm going to the fair today. And it's like, it has nothing to fucking do with it. At least if you're going to do that crap, have the music have something to do with it. I think this first appeared on Grey's Anatomy, where they fill every second of the damn show with this pointless, uppity music. Barbara, I gotta go to the dog catcher. Do, 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 I'm gonna go and kiss your boyfriend. You know, it's all shit like that. So that's a disturbing trend I have noticed. What else have we got going on? Oh, yeah, there was big news yesterday that this was humongous news on Entertainment Tonight, on all these kind of tabloid shows. I don't know if this is a sign of the apocalypse. It's possible, but get this. Oprah has gained 10 pounds. Oh my God, Oprah gained 10 pounds. What does this mean overall for us? And to top it off, Oprah gained her 10 pounds eating mashed potatoes. Well, I hope Bucky approves of that. Mashed taters, she was eating just regular old mashed potatoes. Who gives a shit? I mean, quite frankly, who cares that Oprah gained 10 pounds? Is this really news? Does it really make any difference if Oprah is a humongous fat ass sitting up on her stage? And nobody cares. Nobody cares. She'll be like, oh, girl, I gained this weight because I wanted to. And I'm going to lose it all. And I'm going to get more ratings when I gain all this butter fat off. It doesn't really matter. It makes no difference. But Oprah is a god on the Mount Olympus of Hollywood right now. So anything she does is worthy of news. Oprah painted her toenails? Let's put that on the front fucking page. How about it? Yeah, that's good stuff. Oprah changed her hairstyle? Let's make a whole magazine about that. Hell, she's got a whole magazine. Whole magazine, I think, this month is about mashed potatoes and gaining 10 pounds. I think that's their whole O magazine this month. I thought O magazine was the orgasm magazine, though. Like that was a porno magazine back in the 70s. Now, the other big tabloid TV news is, of course, I don't know why, been the huge battle between Amy Fisher, Joey Buttafuoco, and Joanne Morley, whatever his wife's name was, I don't know. And, you know, this is just another one of those things. I mean, they are running this straight into the ground. Joey and Amy meet, and they bitch at each other. They don't like each other. I think a lot of it is it makes it seem like Joey, what a tortured, sad guy he is. He's had a hard life. You need to feel sorry for him. Yeah, yeah, because he screwed little girls and, you know, had something to do with getting his wife shot in the head. Hey, yeah, we should feel sorry for him. I think the whole point, however, is, didn't this happen like 15 years ago, and who gives a damn now? Who ought to give a damn? This is like Patty Hearst coming on TV and being on every night talking about the Lebanese army. Who cares? That was many years ago. It has no bearing on us now whatsoever. It really had no bearing years ago. There shouldn't have been three TV movies based on Amy Fisher and her vagina, but however, there were. And another guy on the top 100 most influential people in America, the people that we should look up to and respect, includes Jay-Z. He's a fucking rap gangster. Yeah, what the hell should we be looking up to him or P. Daddy, P. Diddy, P.P., Petey Pants, whatever his name is? We shouldn't be looking up these bastards at all. And yet, Time Magazine, I would expect this kind of shit, this horse shit from Rolling Stone, because they have no journalistic integrity whatsoever anymore. But Time Magazine, to fawn over some rap thug? Yeah, I think they're probably right. I think the world is about to end then. Speaking of the world about to end, The Da Vinci Code is coming out, I think Friday, maybe. I don't know. I don't really know when the hell it's coming out. I'm just going to wrap this up real quick. Here is my problem with The Da Vinci Code, and then we'll go into highlights from episode number 2-3. This is my problem with The Da Vinci Code. I know Tom Hanks has come on TV and said, hey, well, look, you know, nobody says this is this. I mean, this is a work of fiction you can find in the fiction aisle at Barnes & Noble. You know, Tom, we don't take you seriously anymore because you're here, dude. Nobody is going to take you seriously. But it just goes into the whole thing of, you know, people can do whatever they want to do, man. Nobody has to take any blame for anything. Do whatever you want to do. You know, if Iran wants to make nuclear missiles, let them, man. I mean, that's their prerogative, man. It's this whole fucking country has become the Bobby Brown country. It's my prerogative. I can do anything I want to do. If R. Kelly wants to screw 13-year-olds every night, well, you know, maybe he was raised wrong. Or maybe it's just those little girls' faults. You know, you never know. No, he's a perv. Let's call a spade in this country for once. This country's gotten to the point where people want to roll over and just die. You know, who cares? I mean, if a lot of the people in America now were back in 1941, this right now would be Hitler's POV. POV with Adolf Schickelgruber Hitler would be the name of this show. Because we don't want to stand up for anything. What the hell was I even talking about in the first place? I mean, we accept Jay-Z being one of the most influential people now in this country. By God. Because nobody's to blame. Nobody's to blame. Everybody's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. No, you're not. You're not okay. I'm not okay. I'll admit it. What the hell was I even talking about in the first damn place? Oh, that's sad. Oh, yeah, the Da Vinci Code, yeah. And people are like, well, you know, it really doesn't present itself as a work of fact. You know, and if people want to, I mean, these are questions that have been asked for thousands of years. And if people still want to ask them, well, people are just inquisitive. No, most people are fucking stupid. Let's just say it. People are fucking stupid. And I can say that because I know my audience. You are of the utmost intelligence. You are inquisitive. You are inquiring minds. You want to know. I'm going to tell you, if you've ever read The Da Vinci Code, you will see in the book, it puts straight out front there, these following things are facts. When in fact, they are not facts. They are made up shit. Is there such a thing as Opus Dei? Hell yeah, there is. But it's not some secret ass sect. It's layman is what it is. Well, what is it? Something about the Knights of Templar, the Templar Knights or whatever, and this and that. And this other society that was started in 1900 or something like that, which in reality was actually started in 1953 by a well-known crackpot that the BBC not very long ago before the Da Vinci Code, did a documentary on this crackpot and showed it was all a bunch of complete crap. The author sure missed that. He's sure happy to rake in the bucks and act like, well, this is a good talking point for Catholics, actually. Shit. Come on. You know, anything in this book that is presented as historic fact, there is no historian worth his salt that will say, yeah, he's probably right. I've heard it on how many occasions. This is the worst researched book I have ever seen. It all comes down to this. I know you're saying, well, you know, hey, it's a fictional book. I mean, he can say, no, not when you present stuff as fact like this. If you were to write a book about World War II and claim that Hitler won it, you'd be wrong. And no one would back you up on that. You could sit there all night and say, well, this is a work of fiction. And if you presented straight up as fact at the beginning, in World War II, Adolf Hitler actually won, the Nazis won, the Holocaust never happened, well, you're going to get called on it, you dumbass. You're not going to get away with it. But with this, since this goofass has come up with this theory that, you know, the Catholics have known all along that Jesus actually married Mary Magdalene, and she had this child that was the goddess of whatever, and Leonardo da Vinci had secret things in the Last Supper, and blah, blah, blah. The fresco that was, to begin with, the Last Supper was not a fresco. It is not a fresco to begin with. Anybody who knows anything about art will tell you that. Anything, you know, to start this crap that Mary Magdalene is on Jesus, is on Christ's right, is to his right on the Last Supper. Let's put it that way. Let's do it like that. you know, anybody who knows anything about art or Da Vinci will be able to tell you immediately that's not who that is. That is not a woman. That is St. John. That's John. I ain't talking about Lennon either. That's John out of, the, you know, the Bible dude, you know?
So, I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines. I don't read them because they're all junk. No, I don't mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So if they don't know anything, they make it up, you know. So in my case, they make it up. When I hear rumors flying around, I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out. Well, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music. When I got sick here in the hotel, I got sick here that one night. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform. From three different sources, I heard I was strung out on heroin. I swear to God, hotel employees, Jack, bellboys, freaks that carry your luggage up to the room, people working around, you know, talking, maids. And I was sick. I was, you know, I was getting, had a doctor, had the flu, and I met over one day and was like, but all across this town, strung out. Well, I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else. If I find or hear the individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch. That is dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father, to my friends, my doctor, to everybody in my relationship with you, my relationship with up here on the stage. It is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roof. Thank you very much. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Elvis never strung out. And he was right. He was never strung out on heroin. But, you know, that's, if that was a commercial, that's a commercial against drug use. Return now to POV with me, David W. Torrance. We're going to delve now not into more Elvis. I had to play that. I found that somewhere. I had that on the CD somewhere. Just had to play it. Anyway, onwards and upwards.
Save on your soap bill. Save on your gas bill. Save on your clothes bill. You say, I love White King granulated soap.
Yes, yes. White King soap. Ask for it by name at your favorite Aryan grocer, White King Soap. Whatever. I was noticing earlier on Yahoo News Oh, this is David Torrance, and you're listening to POV, in case you forgot about it on your little pod by this point. Anyway, that it said Ohio braces for yet another neo-Nazi march. Do they really have to brace for it? Is this something they have to tolerate and put up with? I don't think so. I don't know about those Ohio Nazis, but I can't stand the Illinois Nazis especially. Remember, we hate Illinois Nazis. Anyway, going on ahead, because I don't want to piss off the Hitler contingent out there. God forbid.
Show them what you got, but don't let them have it. You got to tease them a little. Make them chase you.
Welcome back to POV. I'm David W. Torrance, your jolly merry host, except my name is not Mary. I promised we were going to talk about this. We're going to talk about Scientology, because I've been reading up on it the last few days. And if any of you guys out there are Scientologists, you know, normally I don't make fun of crazy religions. I don't make fun of religions. Don't like to, even though religions are just man-made organizations, whatever. Because I reckon, you know, if you want to make fun of my religion, then, you know, have at it. I don't really have a religion, per se. But anyway, I've been reading up on Scientology because I've been wondering what the hell's wrong with Tom Cruise. And I found out now what the hell's wrong with Tom Cruise. You've maybe heard some of this stuff, but I'm going to read you verbatim from Wikipedia, which is the most unreliable source of anything, but I've backed it up in several different places, of the roots of Scientology. That basically L. Ron Hubbard started the Dianetics thing. The Scientology website actually refers to him as a Golden Age famous science fiction author. A famous science fiction author from the Golden Age of sci-fi. And I was like, from when? Bullshit! Anyway, here is a description of what they find out when they get to the top level of Scientology, because you got to be rich, because you got to go on the cruise ship, the Scientologist cruise ship. Do you know even the name Scientology is a fake word? Anyway. And I quote, "Among these advanced teachings, one episode that is revealed to those who reach OT level 3 has been widely remarked upon in the press. I wonder why. The story of Xenu, the galactic tyrant who first kidnapped certain individuals who were deemed excess population and loaded these individuals into space planes for transport to the site of extermination, the planet of Tegeak, known as Earth to us unenlightened. These space planes were said to have been copies..." the fucking computer! "Said to have been copies..." There you go, Anthony. "Said to have been copies of Douglas DC-8s, yeah, except with rocket engines." Well, that sounds very 1930s-ish, doesn't it? "He then stacked hundreds of billions of these frozen victims around Earth's volcanoes 75 million years ago, when there weren't volcanoes on Earth, before blowing them up with hydrogen bombs and brainwashing them with a 3D super colossal motion picture for 36 days, telling them lies of what they are and what the universe should be like, and telling them they are three different things, Jesus, God, and the devil. The traumatized lesbians, or thetans, sorry, subsequently clustered around human bodies because they watched the motion picture together, making them think they are all the same thing. In effect, acting as invisible spiritual parasites known as body thetans that can only be removed using advanced Scientology techniques. Scariest of all, Xenu was allegedly imprisoned in a mountain by a force field powered by an eternal battery. He is said to still be alive today." Okay, so basically what this is saying is... Well, actually, let's go backwards. This is how the Earth was created, according to Scientology. There was Incident 1 and Incident 2. Incident 1... dealt with the creation of this universe by bored thetans who had nothing better to do. There was a loud snap, waves of light, a chariot came out, turned right and left, didn't know where to go. A cherub comes out, blows a horn. There's a shattering series of snaps, the cherub retreats, and then blackness was dumped on thetan. You know, no god. We don't have that. Well, the Xenu came up. He saw the clear galactic overpopulation problem. Took these people to Earth, put them on volcanoes that did not exist. What the hell? Who was on Earth 75 million years ago anyway? What people were there? There was nobody. You damn bunch of ninnies. Then blew them up with H-bombs. What? Then they caught these people with... They caught their spirits or whatever with electronic ribbons. And, you know, maybe I could go with all this. maybe I just go with the flow until we get to the point where he, Xenu, that is, shows them bad movies to confuse them. Who the fuck was this guy? Joel Robinson? Who was he? The mad scientist? Was this Dr. Forrester in TV's Frank? He wasn't Xenu. He was TV's Frank. Son of a bitch. And people actually believe this. Now, I know Scientology claims that, well, this is way blown out of proportion. We really don't teach this. Bullshit, they don't teach this. I mean, there's hints of it in all of their literature. This is the craziest shit I've ever heard of. Hold on, let me close this out. This is going to really take some editing. This is, I mean, who in the, and what surprises me more is who are. I mean, bad movies. Bad movies, of course. Now I know why John Travolta is a Scientologist. He makes bad movies to confuse people. But even odder is odder. Even more odd are the people that are Scientologists. They gave a big list on somewhere. It amazed me, of course. You got your Travolta. You got your crazy Cruz. You got his crazy-ass girlfriend, whatever her name is, Katie Cruz, whatever. But also Jason Lee. Yes, the Jason Lee of My Name is Earl and Mallrats fame. And Isaac Hayes, the hot-buttered godfather. He's a Scientologist. Does this seem right? Surely he's a Muslim or something. He's in Islam or something. That can't be right. I can't imagine him. Who in the hell do you have to be to... All right. You are now in the OT3 induction level. You are raised to the highest point of Scientology possible. Let us tell you the truth. Xenu, explosions, cherubs, H-bombs, where they weren't any, and bad movies. God, my God, I'll give you the gross of my next five movies then. How about that? Clearly, that, you know, I just don't understand. I don't understand this. I mean, oh, it hurts me. It makes my stomach hurt even worse to think about this. You know, these days we get all of our important shit from the internet. Everything. We trust the internet for our basic necessities. If the internet could feed us and wipe our butts when we go to the bathroom, we'd let it do it. And it may one day, depending on what Bill Gates decides to invent. But I somewhat long for the days when we got our science fiction news from, no, not the internet, but from magazines. I don't know if any of you guys follow me on this, but it used to be if we wanted the latest inaccurate news on science fiction or horror films, by God, we got it from the latest magazines. Back in the 70s, it was the king, the granddaddy of them all, of course, was Famous Monsters of Filmland, which a version of which is printed today, I believe. Don't know what Forrest J. Ackerman has to do with it, though, or if he has anything to do with it. But back then, that magazine ruled. About every couple of months or so, they would print a list of upcoming science fiction films. And you could bet your bottom dollar that 90% of them would never get made. You'd never see them. I remember them at one point listing that Jerry Lewis was planning to make a sequel to his film Hardly Working that was going to be a Star Wars parody. Wouldn't you have loved to see a Jerry Lewis Star Wars parody? That would have been a laugh riot. I got back into science fiction magazines in the early, the early 90s, I guess. Oh, there used to be Starlog, too, speaking of. Starlog was that super overpriced thing that had these two-page interviews, but you couldn't wait for the Starlog annuals in which they print old interviews, maybe one or two new ones. That's where I learned the truth about Mark Hamill's infamous Corvette car crash out of Starlog. But it was always too expensive. Too damn expensive. Anyway, and they'd have people like Hawk from Buck Rogers on the cover, and you didn't give a damn about him. You thought he was goofy ass, so you didn't buy that one. Then in the early 90s, they had a couple of really great, that were just damn good magazines. One was called Cinescape that may still be produced today, but it's not the same as it was. I can pretty much pin down when that magazine came out because the first issue featured a long article on Star Trek Generations. But at that time, the king of the science fiction magazine was one called Sci-Fi Universe. I think it was called the Magazine for Science Fiction Fans with a Life. And they got into shit all the time. They would print honest reviews of things. They would trash the latest Star Trek movie for perfectly good reasons. They had the infamous 50 Reasons We Hate Return of the Jedi issue that was balanced out by 20 Reasons We Love Return of the Jedi. That was just a hell of a magazine. You always looked forward to that thing every month. Somehow, however, it got sold. I believe Mark Altman, who still does a lot of stuff, was running it at the time. And it somehow got sold to a mega magazine corporation and was lobotomized and became, you know, the house organ grinder for Sci-Fi and Paramount and whatever. And if I could get Famous Monsters of Filmland, I would. Because I so fondly remember, for one issue, they serialized the plot, the story of the film Black Sunday, a classic, fairly lost Hammer horror classic. Anyway, we still got several things to get to, but we're just not going to get to them this week. We'll wait till next week.
Yes, yes, yes. Very neat, very neat. Pretty good, pretty good. POV episode. What? Yeah, Best of Volume 2. Let's get this straight. Best of Volume 2 now coming to an abrupt close over the final theme music. And if you don't know what this final music, we've had a lot of ending music to the show. This, of course, I just thought I got to use this because nobody else does right now. Anyway, coming up is Volume 3 before too long. Heck, it may be there right now. I don't really know how the hell I'm going to do this. But stay fine-tuned if you can actually tune the iPods. For Volume 3 of the Best of POV with me, David W. Torrance, who says, as always, if it wasn't for you, it just wouldn't be for me. So as for now anyway, need to go. Good night, God bless, and ciao for now from the big chair here at POV Central. We'll see you next time, and thanks for listening.